Good morning, everyone. My name is Adrian, and I'm an addict. And, you know, I'm looking at the theme, and this is exactly what happened through this woman, through meeting her, through her saying yes to sponsorship to me. You know, I met Kay a little less than 2 years ago, and I was at a place that I knew so well, you know, with about, what at the time, 22 years clean, you know. I was challenged with security, you know, taking things into my own hands, and, you know, the hustle was looking good again, and, you know, Kay allowed me to call her, and, you know, she immediately challenged my spirit with things like, so how much time do you spend covering your tracks, you know? I was like, damn, you know? She challenged my spirit with stuff like, either you're going to be in a character defect or a spiritual principle. Ain't no in between. It's one or the other, you know? And I love you for that. I love you, you know? She's taking me through the work again, and yeah, I'm definitely experiencing awakening of the spirit. I think you're amazing. I love your confidence, your power, your wisdom, and you share it so freely, you know. You loved me, man. I was having difficulties, you know, loving myself. You've introduced me to me again, and I honor you for that, you know. And all this began over the screen. So, you know, recovery works, you know. Miracles happen, and I thank you for being my miracle. So I'll introduce Kay.
Love y'all. I'm Kay, I'm an addict. Thank you, Adrian. Thank you. So I met Adrian like a month before the tragedies happened in my life. She asked me to sponsor. I mean, about a month before everything happened, and under the direction of my sponsor, I needed to step back for a minute because I was just doing it. My sister had just died, and I was just right back in life. And my sponsor suggested, she said, tell them to call me. Do anybody got any work on the table? I'm like, not really. She'd be like, okay. And when I told my sponsees that, first of all, I just need to jump right into it. I say congratulations and all that if it come out. But this awakening of the spirit, man, it's like when everything happens. See, I've been one to always say that we experience a full range of feelings. It talks about that in our first step, and it works how and why. It say we will experience a full range of feelings about the events of our lives. So I always thought I had. Oh, that's because I'll be pissed off at people and get over it. So, I thought I was experiencing a full range of feeling until grief and sadness came. And, man, I've been surviving against all odds. Our literature tells us that, and I have been. And but it's like this grief about to take me down, boy. This grief and, boy, this sadness just. So I'm going to get into that. But I needed to take a step back from being able to talk to my sponsors. I didn't have nothing to give them. I was depleted, and I was angry with God, and I just wasn't in a good spot. And then I said some stuff like, the NA stuff. You know, if you got to do what you got to do, don't let me hold up your recovery. You know, if you feel like you need to move on, then you do that. And two of them did. See, I'm real good at giving you an out, then get mad when you take it. Get upset that you take the out that I just gave you, instead of risking vulnerability and saying, please don't leave me. Please hang in there with me. I hate to have to grieve you too. But two of them says, well, you're right. I don't want you to hold up my recovery. And they moved around. Adrian didn't. I had just met her. So she really didn't even have nothing to go on but her own spirit telling her, this the one to hang in there with. And not only that, three or four more other women came. Nikki came, Gwen came. Like, people started coming in the midst of all of that I was going through. Me being barely being able to talk some days. My clean date is 32301. I'm in my 21st year of recovery, Eddie. So you know what? Congratulations, Hagner. I've been coming to Hagner. You know, hey Jesse, when my predecessors sent me back there, I want to take a minute to tell my predecessors, thank y'all. Thank y'all for putting y'all right foot in and praying me up in this piece, right? I appreciate y'all because I stand up on the backs of y'all. Man, I didn't know how to do nothing when I was ill-equipped to deal with life. Y'all taught me everything. Just listening to predecessors, listening to newer people that had experiences that I hadn't had. You know, so congratulations, Hagner, Houston Area Convention of Narcotics Anonymous for 14 years. 14 years of this convention. This is a big one. This is a nice hotel. You know what I'm saying? Thank y'all. Thank you for your service work. Thank y'all for doing that. Hospitality suite is incomparable. How that food, how that suite was. Y'all should win a fucking award. Uh-oh. I just messed up the spiritual part of this. Already. I remember Ted and Eddie when they called me and invited me. I say, "Oh, y'all gonna call it a spiritual? I mean, can we say Sunday morning closing speaker? You know what I'm saying?" Like, but they call it what they call it, and I'm just gonna be who I am. Our real value is in being ourselves. Man, I have fought hard to just be who I am. See, we live in a world that make you hate everything about you. It make you hate your skin color, how you sound, where your mom and them come from, what's in your pocket, where you work, what kind. It make you hate every your side. It make you hate everything about you. And so we fight to love who we are. Because this is it. This the body I got this time around. This it. So I'm not finna keep on hating anything about me. Now, anybody else can look at me and turn their head. That's how I can. I got to look in the mirror, and I got to see me every day. Thank you, Gwen, for learning. Something threw me this week. I had an aunt pass away. My grandmother, she was the last sibling, my grandmother's sister. She was the last one of the 15. And so me and my family went to Lubbock. Wednesday night, we drove for the funeral Thursday. So it's like that little part right there kind of threw me. And I had my book bag right by the door. But see, I done got to where my memory is as such. It can be right by the door. But if it ain't hanging on the door, no, I'm going to forget it, man. I got to hang. Like sometimes I have like six things hanging on the door, no. Because the way I work for myself. I got a bag for every little kind of job, because I'm a counselor, I'm a therapist, I run an agency, I just got a CPS contract to do some, you know what I'm saying? So that's some more stuff, and then the way my memory is set up, it's so much in here, and then check this out, man, I struggle with that. My memory has been one of my greatest assets for me. It's been a blessing and a curse, because I remember everything. I remember the pain, but I also remember the joy. My cousins be asking me, how you remember all that? I'm like, I just do. I be helping them with their memories of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But if I don't stop what I'm doing right when I think of something sometime, I'm not going to. And then I got sticky notes up because I have a home office. So it can remind me. I got some of our quotes, our literature up. Right now I have to put up, take my will in my life. Guide me in my recovery. Show me how to live. You know, it's three periods. Take my will in my life, period. You see what I'm saying? Guide me in my recovery, period. Show me how to live, period. It don't say clean after that. But now I know everybody done threw in. They done threw in a word. You know, addicts, we like to add a bunch of shit. We like to take shit away. We like to put our own. I don't feel it necessary to do a lot of that with our literature. Now, I might say period because it is a period right there. Let me get into this. Let me get into. An awakening of the spirit. But we all know, you know, having had, and thank you all the speakers that spoke before me, I was able to set in and get fed. I appreciate it. We already know step 12, say having had a spirit. We already know there's no use in going back over the fact that the 12 steps. That's how my spirit woke up. Now, I had some spiritual experiences, you know what I'm saying, a bunch of them. But that awakening and the ones that keep happening is a result of working the steps, living the steps, internalize. It's like when I say internalizing the steps, right? So if I get up in the morning, make my coffee, grab my bags, get out the door, and then I'll get down the street or get out, not even down the street, just bag out of the driveway, and I say, did I turn the oven off after I made that bacon? Oh, shit, let me get out. Get up, go back in, go in the house, and oh, I did turn the oven off. Okay, so another time I get up the street, did I lock the door? So I'm like, I can't take a chance. So I drive back and turn it. I did lock the door. That's in the subconscious. That's where this program got to live for me. I got to know I'm doing it without even thinking about I did it. I got to know I'm doing it, so when I check back, I say, yeah, I did. I prayed this morning. Right. All the way, and then step 3 say the proof of this step is shown in the way we live. It didn't say the proof of this step is shown in how much you share with your good sharing ass. It didn't say the proof of this step is how many people line up and say good stuff about you. It didn't say the proof of this step is how much gas you can put in your car and how many conventions you can hit. I'd like to thank my sponsorship family for coming out. Man, it's about 9 of them. I'd like to thank my sponsor. Man, this little lady right here, this little lady is a stick of dynamite, man. Every time I call her, she give me what I need. And I can call her and talk to her about every aspect of me. See, I don't believe, the other day the meditation was, well, we talked about secrets or reservations. I don't believe in secrets. I ain't got none. First of all, I'm not up to a bunch of shit that I need to keep secret. That's the first thing. I participate in right living. I participate in integrity. So I ain't got a bunch of shit. I ain't fucking nobody's husband. I ain't screwing no little kids. I ain't stealing off my job. I ain't doing a bunch of crap that I would feel the need, because secrets are shame-based. So even when I'm going through or I'm feeling something, I can tell her. I can tell her, and then she knows the pattern of what it usually is with me. I have a disease that the first thing it always tries to do is get me away from y'all. That's the first move it try to make. The first move, I call it peaks and valleys. I be in peaks with Narcotics Anonymous, and then valleys with, and then the peak, oh, I love everybody. Oh, look at Brandon. Man, I've been seeing him since he, oh my God, I love y'all. Inger, man, I'm glad you moved. Oh, Christine, God, I love. Oh, I'm going to pray for so-and-so. Oh, man. That's when I'm on the peak. Thank God. When I slide in that valley, man, fuck all y'all. Good sharing. Hypocrite, my man. I'm so sick of this shit with these. Man, if this motherfucker say one more word in group conscious, man, I am tired of his. That, and then I go back. And when within my first 5 years, that used to scare me, because I thought I was gonna go use when I felt that way. So I used to fake happiness all the time. And that what they call toxic positivity. You know, that's what I was always doing, because I was scared that when I felt that little valley moment. That I was finna go use. Let me tell you something. A feeling becomes an emotion when I attach a meaning to it. So I can just feel all feelings eventually pass. That's an awakening for my spirit. That's the most profound line for me in our literature. All feelings eventually pass. Now, what I did in the feeling, that's what I'm stuck with. For instance, I got horny. And now I got 4 kids. I'm not horny anymore, but I still got 4 kids and 7 grandchildren, because I got horny, right? I got angry and quit a job. Y'all can take this job and shove it. I was looking for a job when I found this one. And yeah, you know, all of that. Okay, I got angry, quit the job. Before I got to my exit on the freeway, I wasn't angry no more. But I have a job no more either. So it's what I do in the feelings that I'm stuck with. The feeling long gone. Long gone. I'm on another feeling by now. So, and when I say that, I become emotional. When I get in them valley times, I used to say, well, I ain't making enough meetings. That's why I feel like this. But then it's like a checklist. Daria talk about this checklist. You know what I'm saying? And then when I go down the checklist, I prayed this morning. I read some literature. You know those seven simple suggestions? I talked to my sponsor. I'm sponsoring women. I went to a meeting. I made some kind of recovery. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm doing everything. Why do I? It's just a feeling. It don't mean nothing all the time. When I put a meaning with the feeling, then I become emotional. And you know, we can't afford to be emotionally attached to our problems. We can't afford to whatever problem going on, I start attaching some emotions and feelings to it. And so for It Works High and Why, Brandon visited this, page 118 and 119, right? The message we carry is that by practicing the principles contained within the 12 steps, we have had a spiritual awakening. Now, like some people say, applying principles. Some people say practice, whatever it is. I mean, that's what we got to, whatever it is, I'm calling it. It's principles, like I was just saying, like Adrian was just saying. So I understand in the Narcotics Anonymous Step Working Guides, it talks about, I've never tried to just quote literature when it's right here in front of me. On time I do that paraphrasing stuff, I just don't have it. But here it is on page 8. It's in the spiritual principle part of step one, and it's talking about acceptance. And it talks about, you know, the principle of acceptance. But let me get to the sentence I'm getting to. We come to terms with our addiction, with our recovery, with our addiction, with our recovery, and with the meaning those two realities will come to have in our lives. These two fingers is the two realities, our addiction and our recovery. So as a disease, our addiction, defects, or as recovery, the program and the principles. I don't know about nobody. I don't know about y'all, but I don't operate in an alternate reality. And I used to watch Twilight Zone. They talk about an alternate dimension. And somebody was talking about being hooked on fantasy. That was my first rough say. Whatever show was on, that's who I became. You know, when Law and Order was hot, I was a lawyer. God damn it, I object. I would object and then say overruled to my own self. You know what I'm saying? Then when CSI came out, I was a crime scene investigator. You know, this little speck of dirt on the bottom of your shoe from that blade of grass. That's why I can't kill nobody. They'll catch me. Then when Criminal Minds came out, oh, Lord, now I'm a behavior analyst at the meeting. That motherfucker looked like the unsub. Look at his eyes. Yeah, something wrong with him. I was anything. Now, I'm so caught up in criminal. My little girl, 9 years, she was 9 at the time. Mama, can we eat, girl, if you don't go? You see me trying to solve this murder. If you don't sit your ass. I almost done caught this motherfucking killer. Please go in there and leave me alone. So that was recent time. I'm talking about in the 21 years. Now, all the way back was Gilligan's Island. See, I was going to get Gilligan them off that island if it was the last thing I did. And I was Ginger. I don't know about nobody else. Because baby Ginger had all her clothes on a 3-hour tour. A 3-hour tour. She had every outfit. So it was always me. Then I was damn on good time. I was always somebody other than me. Even after doing all this work, I just told y'all, them TV shows was within this 21 years. I want to be everything but what I'm going to school for. A counselor. Everything other than the career that I'm spending all this money and put all this time into going to be. Because I will get into fantasy because oblivion is preferable than reality. Because all addiction is escapism. It's escapism. It's me not wanting to be right here where I'm at. Insanity is living in harmony with reality. I need to have some soundness in my mind, which is the definition I like for sanity. That's by staying firmly rooted and grounded in what's happening right now. And now I can tell you the feelings I've been feeling, they happening right now. So I've been having to deal with however I get up. And then on top of that, my daughter who lost her husband and her baby in a car wreck, we all live together. So I got my own grief. And because of the type of a mother I am, sometimes it's defect, sometimes it's principle, like anything else with us. Remember, this is one or the other. I got vicarious grief going on, too, because I got to hear her. Her bathroom is right by my bedroom, the wall. So she'll go in her bathroom and run and get in the shower, and she'll howl and cry. I got to feel that, too. My baby girl. The one I had in recovery, right? Because I said I was going to get clean to have a baby. I used to say that shit on the street. I ain't finna let them fuck my shit up. I'm going to have me another baby. I ain't like all that flatbacking. And it's funny now, right? Y'all know flatbacking. You got to lay on your back. I ain't like all that. That's why I stole so much. That's why my legs and shit fucked up now from all that running. That I used to snatch people's shit. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't like all that flatbacking. Now that's all I can do is lay on my damn back. Ain't that something? I digress. So look, the little dude I'm screwing right now, right? He said, you're going to get on top. I say, who? Come on, get on top. I say, baby, it's me. He said, what you mean? I say, it's me, the old one. Remember, I'm the old one. You got to get one of your young girls. I'm not getting on top of shit, but on top of that side of the bed when you get your ass up. I'm rolling over at this wet spot. So that's... I ain't doing none of that. No, I'm flat backing like a mug now. I used to hate that. Because I need my energy. That takes energy. I need my energy to run the business in the morning. I need my energy because I wake up checking emails and returning phone. I need my energy. So you need to get your ass up on top of me. Do what you got to do, homeboy. Let's go to sleep. I don't even be lying no more, baby. I'm going to say, I'm going to give it to you all night. I ain't giving you shit all night long. I can't do nothing all night long but sleep. That's it. And I don't even do that all night long. So I got to get up and pee by 2 times. You know, this been a process, man. This awakening of the spirit. And thank God for the process. Thank God that we get to walk through and learn who we are. We get to, look, long as you clean. Look, if you knew it in me, like Brandon said the other night, out of while we're here, we insist that you can recover. We don't just, hey, you can recover. I think you got it in you. Now, we insist that you can recover. Based on the evidence, which when we look in the mirror, we the main evidence ourselves. So this is I'm glad to still be in this process. And now, early on when everything happened, March 31st, 2021, that tragedy struck. So people were, you know, people just say what they say, you know, like, but you're so strong, you'll make it through this. I was like, baby, it's too early to tell. It's too early to tell what I'm going to do, baby. I'm a dope fiend. I might not look like now, but this one that still live here, that ain't went nowhere. What you think? The woman who left her kids done abandoned? No. Everything I've ever done, I'm still capable of doing. Because I already did it. Right? And so I was like, I don't know about all that. I don't know about how strong I am. It's too early to tell. You know what I'm saying? But it's awakening of the spirit. And throughout this, I'm going to go back a little bit throughout this process of just being in recovery, like the 21 years I've been here. It's easy. Our literature talks about we have a tendency to focus on the defense before we got clean. Man, not me. It's enough done jumped off in these 21 years to show me, Jack. I just did my fourth step. So now, I ain't got them same resentments I had in the first 4 step. I've dealt with some of that stuff, but it was some new ones. And then, guess what? My 8th step, it's going to be some more names on that list. And it's basically, since I've been enthralled in the fellowship, it's us. It's each other. You know, but getting clean, like getting, like I said, I was ill-equipped to deal with life. I didn't know how to do anything. I started freebasing when I was 20. I was 4 days past my 20th birthday. I had on a white outfit with some white tent because my old man, we was finna go somewhere. And this lady, I was letting them roll up, pack up some weed and bag it up in my apartment. They was giving me money. And they said, you want to hit the pipe. That was it. It wasn't even no rocks when I saw. I'm prehistoric. It wasn't even no damn rocks. You understand what I'm saying? I was 20 years old. I was a baby. I just had my second son. He was 2 months old. You understand what I'm saying? And then that stuff took, it took me so all through my 20s. And then I was 35. I was 2 weeks from 30. Well, I was 2 months from being 35 when I got clean this time. That's 14 by 15 years, right? So look, I'm going to tell you a little story about a man named Jed. That poor motherfucker barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food. And up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oh, that is. Black gold. Texas tea. So the first thing you know, Jed's a millionaire. His kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. They said, California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is. Swimming pools, movie stars. Now check this out. I'm gonna make it make sense. That's me. So I'm Jed Nim. Like I get to NA, I get to this whole new, cause they up there calling the pool the cement pond. They calling food vittles. Talking about possum stew. So this me, I'm Jed Nim with them old clothes, coming from the country, coming from the hills, shooting for my food, surviving against all odds, and then I get to NA talking about a new way of life, and I'm that same person that was in the hills. I'm that same person. I'm that same hood girl, right? That chick from Oak Cliff that had a fighting group conscience. At 18 months clean, because I'm a fighter. So when the surrender piece say, we no longer have to fight, what? No. That's all I've ever done. Yeah. That's all I've ever done. And not just physical fighting. Yeah. I fought tears. Somebody was talking about swallowing tears, the speaker lad, like I fought back tears. The physical fighting was the easiest fighting. And that came from pain, like, I was a regular sized little girl until the sixth grade. I shot up like 4 inches. So look here at my cousins. When I walk in, they would say, ho, 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 green giant. Man, I got high-sided on from being tall. And you see how my nose look? My nose been this size since I was a baby. I just done grew up and kind of grew into it. It's been the same goddamn size. So I was bell pepper nose, I was blacker than mid, and I was all kind of, and so the thing about it is, I'm sensitive, I've always been sensitive, but I learned how, we call it a high side, rock. I learned how to get right back at you, but then it's crazy because when I do it, it ain't funny when I do it. See, right now, especially in my life, I brag different. You don't even want to start with me, or you want to start talking about what I look like. I ask you what your kids look like out there on their own. And you got all these years clean. I ask you what your mouth look like because you ain't been to the dentist and you got all these years clean. So let's not even go there. You see what I'm saying? So even then I could zing with the best, but then at some point I would get tired of all of that. So I started crying. So then the gaslighting started. We just playing with you. We only teasing you. You're taking things too serious. You need to lighten up. You know, because for whatever reason, I was just the designated brunt of the joke. And then when I would say, I don't want to do that no more. Now, check this out. I'm talking about childhood. Don't you know we do that shit grown? Yeah. We do that same stuff grown. Grown-ass people playing and then getting upset when somebody won't let you play with them. So now there's newness, right? I didn't understand. First of all, I hadn't worked the steps. So there couldn't have been a spiritual awakening yet. I was just in step one. While I was understanding, I was powerful. Let me bring this up to the day. Step one for me now. Like step one over, look, I couldn't get what I was powerless over. Look, people die. Not my people die. People die. There's that reservation. Everybody got that reservation. That's no chance for cancellation. We all gonna die. We guarantee two things, a birth date and a death date. But in my mind, I felt like God had did me wrong. Because I was bargaining. I felt like now I'm doing all this for you. Me and God. Doing all this churn to your people. You know, trying to help them recover. And you take my grandbaby? You make my daughter suffer? After all I've done for you, God? Well, check this out. Now, the very next month, now here in NAE, state anniversary, is Labor Day weekend. So this happened at the end of March. So April, I don't even remember April. It really was a blur. Me and my children talk about that. We were pretty much going through the motions. So Howard B. called me. We want you to be our closing speaker. I was like, here we go. Here we go with this speaker bullshit. Now I got to go share the hope. Okay. Now I got to talk. I ain't want to do. And I had to call my sponsor because I done learned enough to know. Don't decline while you're in these feelings now. These feelings is not a reason to decline. I decline sharing if I have to work, if it's not practical, because if it ain't practical, it's not spiritual. Or if me and my sponsor have talked and it's time for me to take a minute. That's the only time. Other than that, I'm going to carry. Check this out. He's talking. Where Tyrell at? Where Tyrell? Wherever he at. Check it out. What he reminded me of last night, what it says in the step 12. It say we like being clean and carrying the message of hope to the still suffering addict. We like being clean and carrying the message. There's nothing wrong with liking to carry the message. Long as I don't turn this thing into a whole nother thing that it'll turn into. They call it chasing the podium. People do it. So I didn't want to go over there. Because I was upset with God because I didn't understand powerlessness. It's been a whole nother awakening just on that right there. Understanding powerlessness on another level. Like it always talks about a deeper level of surrender. And there's another level of denial. It talks about all of that. But man, it was a whole nother level of powerlessness and unmanageability when those deaths happened. Now that was March when the deaths happened. My sister had just died in November. She was only 48. We found out she had cancer in September. She was dead in November. And I watched her take her last 4 days of life. I was right there with her. My little sister, 6 years younger than me. We grew up, you know, I raised her. I watched her take her last breath. So here it is. When my grandson passed, I'm the one get the call to go to cook children. I'm thinking it's some CPS type stuff going on. And I have to identify my grandbaby. There was no, that understanding of powerlessness, it just, I know now it's because I was bargaining with God this whole time. I do this, you know, if then, if you do this, then I'll do that. Like I'm working for God now. Like I'm his right hand man. Like I don't know how y'all gonna make it without my message, Brandon. Like, so how dare you do this to me? And I had to go through that and thank God for sponsorship because I could talk through that. Because I still have to, you know, it's the one too. I still have to turn my wheel over to a, I still have to understand that I need some restoration right there. Because unless I understand I'm powerlessness and really internalize it, there's no need for a second step. There ain't no need for it. Because I got to understand I'm powerless in order to ask a power greater than me to help me in order to turn my will and my life over to the care of that power, which is God as I understand him. Until I understand I'm powerless, ain't none of that finna happen. So that's where I was stuck. Also, I was living without hope, which is my favorite principle. I've said that my whole hope is my favorite principle because that's the one I can get up on top of the quickest. I can always have hope. I might not always tolerate. I have no love and no understanding and patience, and I might not have all that, but I can have some hope. But I was living without hope. And the hope that the second step talks about, Because one more time, the powerlessness piece I wasn't grasping. It say our spiritual awakening. This is page 112, and it works high and wide. This is out of step 11. Our spiritual awakening has... Wait a minute, I wrote it down, but let me go and read out the book. And I'm bringing it home. This is on page 112. It says, our spiritual awakening has opened us up to spiritual contentment, unconditional love, and personal freedom. And then, and when I talk about, look, unconditional love, right? I love Adrian and the ladies that have stuck with me through this process, because not only did they love me, are they loving me unconditionally, they loving me under any condition. Just love me under any condition. You see what I'm saying? That's what I try to learn. I just try to love people. You know how we used to say we need to meet people where they at? That's loving under any condition. Because it shows my spiritual immaturity if you have to be a certain way before I can love you. You know, you need to quit sharing so long. You know, I'm going to suggest that you don't share for 30 days. Man, whatever. Where is that at? Just if you show me, it's probably right next to the part that say I need to write a letter to my dead loved one and take it to the graveyard and read it. They probably right next to each other somewhere, but it ain't in this literature. People, how you doing? All kind of wacky shit in here. That's counseling stuff. Because you know we got a lot of these old LCDC and we got them alphabet people that work. That, you know what? I check all them hats at the door. Because I got some alphabet soup behind my name. I check all that at the door. Right? So I'm not going to tell you to write no letter in your fourth step and take it to the gate. Where does that say that at? Now, if I'm in therapy and my therapist have given me an assignment, then that's where I do that at. We don't need to be mixing. If you in here doing that, man, quit that shit. Quit doing that. It's a simple program. It's written so simply. We don't need to add no whole bunch of stuff to it. That's ego, man. That's your ego right there. So the unconditional love or loving me under any condition, the spiritual contentment. Man, I did not think I'd get here. Where I feel right now. Like it's a dark hole to see, like I've been slowly crawling up out of. And then I believe in shit like, well, you only as happy as your happiest child. I'm like, Lord, where did I read that at in 1974? Because I know that's when I read the shit somewhere. Because I have four children. And then one of them is in perpetual state of grief. So you mean that's how I'm always feel? I've had to discard some of these things I've been running on. These children, like I would tell my daughter when she was 18, before she even met Nicholas, I would say, I want you to, when you go to college, you go into a dorm, because I want you to be where you don't have to worry about nobody but yourself. You don't have to worry about your little sister, which is Grace, the baby I had in recovery. You don't have to worry about me. You don't have to worry about this household. You don't have to worry about going to the store, getting the groceries for the week. You don't have to worry about cooking two nights a week. You don't have to worry about any of these things. All you got to worry about is you. Okay, fast forward to right now. I start telling my daughter Grace that. She's a senior in high school. You're going to college because I want you to get to a point in your life where you don't have to worry about nobody but you. But when I said that toward myself, oh my God, my kids like had a fit. Because I said, I want to get to a point in my life where I don't have to worry about nobody but me. Oh, you don't want to be our parent no more. You don't love us. I'm like, now see, when I was saying it toward y'all, it was fine. But now I'm saying it toward me. Crack cocaine is what interrupted. I raised my mama kids. Then I had two kids. Then I got on dope. Then as soon as I got off dope, I had a 6-year-old. I had a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old. I began to parent. I began to sponsor. I began to do service work. I am finally finding out who the hell I am in unrelation to everything else. So I want to be in a position. I gave my dog away. I gave my dog to my mama. I had him 10 years, a little chihuahua. I let my mama, Grace got a cat. And when they say cats antagonize dogs, I used to think that was only you know, on TV, you know, Tom and Jerry, but that cat was fucking with that dog, man. She was messing with that dog. So my daughter needed her cat more than I needed my dog. So I gave my dog to my mom who needed her little dog, right? Okay, I don't even have a dog no more. Man, I'm ready to do me. You understand what I'm saying? Not like I ain't been doing me. You know, we love to say that shit like we ain't been doing. I said, I have been, but not on the level that I want. Not on the level that this awakening. See, that's part of the awakening too. See, I got way more yesterdays than I got tomorrows. I'm 56 years old. I doubt if I got 56. I don't even want 56 more years. No, because I can imagine what that's going to look and feel like. I can barely sleep on these hard-ass beds. I got a bed now. I spent a lot of money on that bed. It's a Sleep Number. It crank up like that, or it lay down flat, or I can lift up my... Now they'll mess me up for any other bed. When I go somewhere else, my body be like, what the fuck? What's going on here? We can't lay like this. It's the luxuries that I've done as far as my career so I could afford myself these type things. Right. Yeah. So I won't be all up in no dude face begging for, you know, applying for financial aid in the meeting. Okay, I was doing that. I was doing that shit earlier. You know what I'm saying? I ran in and out all through the 90s. 32301 is my fifth clean date. I ran in and out all through the 90s. Now, let me make this clear. Relapse and recovery. So, in order for me to relapse, there have to be some type of recovery. So, the times that I'm counting were the times I went to treatment, went to a meeting, found a sponsor. I worked up to the eighth step three times. Throughout that, they used to say, if you don't work a fourth, you're going to drink a fifth. I worked up to the eighth step. I didn't have a problem answering these questions. I had a problem talking about what I was thinking and feeling and doing on a daily basis. All that sneaking, skullduggery, and all of that. I had a problem with talking about that kind of stuff. If you knew it in me, and you just identified with that, you need to talk about what you're doing today. How you're thinking and feeling today with your sponsor. It's easy to answer them questions in that book. And so when I realized that the spiritual awakening of me just being all right with where I'm at, which is another foreign thought for me, because we people who are never satisfied. That's one of the reasons I want people pleasing here. I'd be damned if I try to please a motherfucker who never satisfied. Not me. Addicts are how you jumping through all kind of hoops. Soon as you do one thing, they got something else waiting on you. Because we are never satisfied. But we can't look here. It just told us our spiritual awakening has opened us up to spiritual contentment. So although we are never satisfied, one part our literature say, I can be spiritually content, right? I can be content in where I'm at spiritually. I can be content in the fourth step that I just worked the fourth step different. I didn't write down my resentment list. The more I looked at it, when I was in the process of writing, I'm like, I can't write this down. And you know why I couldn't write it down? Because I had them. They gone now. I had some resentments toward my children. See, they grown now. They done did some shit. I had some resentment story, and I just couldn't take a chance. And I wasn't finna go buy no lockbox and lock it up. I wasn't finna burn it. I'm not doing that. I'm just not gonna write it because our literature have told us they was gonna call it the step writing guides. But they realized that writing imposes a limitation on some members. So it's the step working guides. And what me and my sponsor decided when I ran it by her, she said, well, just talk that part, as long as you get it out. And that's what I did. I didn't write them resentments down. I'm not, but they already can get these CDs and hear a bunch of shit. I don't need them seeing what I done wrote because I'm upset with them, man. For being adults and making decisions. And my son-in-law had that wreck. That was his fourth wreck. Warning come before, that boy had three other wrecks. And my daughter still gave him the keys to go to the store. Now she gotta live. Do you think I'm finna? Well, why you give him? You think I don't kick people when they down? You don't go kicking. No, they already down and crawling, and you. Well, you shouldn't have. She got to deal with that. She got to live with that herself. I got to be there for her. I got to get out of my own way and be there for somebody else, which is what y'all taught me. This program prepared me for what I wasn't even prepared for. The fact that I live this program. Let me bring you right here. Let me know my time. Where you going? Hold on. I'm finna go to the, when we were talking about, when people were saying, you so strong and this, that, and the other. And check this out, what it brought me to. I'm so glad I got this literature inside of me because it brings it up when I need it.
Yeah.
It says, when we forget, this 11th step, basic text. When we forget where our real strength lies, we quickly become subject to the same patterns of thinking and action that got us to the program in the first place. When we forget where our real strength lies, right? Where our real strength lies, it ain't in how good I sure. It ain't in how good I can read literature and regurgitate it or even live it. That's not where my strength lies in the God of my understanding. That's where my strength lies. That's what, because he's given me something, another understanding, another perspective of grace. That's grace right there. He's showing me grace through people that love me. He's showing me grace right there, right? Because some at some point in our lives, we don't deserve that. We don't deserve that type of love. But his grace is saying, yes, you do. You do deserve this type of love. And not only that, you can give that type of love. Because remember, we wasn't people that was giving love and all of that, man. We were giving STDs and shit, giving motherfuckers a hard time and shit. You know what I'm saying? We weren't giving love and happiness and togetherness and unity. We weren't giving that. So what he's turned me, the awakening that I've had is what he's turning me into, and what this tragedy has, like, it has pulled a whole nother. I always say, check this out. I don't care what nobody say. Every time there was another trauma in my life, another personality developed. Every time it was a trauma, another personality developed so I could deal with it. And so now, with my real value being myself, I don't have to mask, right? You know, people in this, you know, young people give us things. Like my kids, they always got the little latest saying, keep me hip. And they say, oh, they switched up. They switched up. Well, the NA, we don't switch up. The mask fall off our asses or else we take it off. So don't say, well, they switched up or not. They ain't switch up. They took that mask off their ass been wearing with you. Or else it just fell off and broke. And they didn't pick it up and put it back on. Because we either going to get a real person or we going to get the masking. Now, even though we got a lot of, I got a lot of roles, like my children, the oldest one 38, the youngest one 17. So I'm even a different mother with each kid, right? So when my daughter, when Grace was little, I'm talking to her, I'm mommy. I got to get out of work because I got to go feed her. Now that oldest one, you know, he lived with us for a little while. He's a little funny guy, that Frank. I always say that Frank. You know, you got one kid, right? And so he heard me giving Grace a choice. I said, so you can have these chicken nuggets or we can have fish sticks. And he said, well, what can I have? I said, you can eat this shit or starve. That was your choice. I don't. You can eat this or starve. 25 years old, but he was just playing with me because my parenting had to change. Read Being a Parent in the Living Clean. It talks about in the area of parenthood is where our self-centeredness can do the most harm. In the area of parenthood, because I tend to act like they are little extensions of me and try to live vicariously through. No, they are their own person. It's my responsibility. I have some stewardship over them, and I can influence some things, and I can help them to develop their own spiritual growth because they can't lean on me. I'm not God. So the best thing I could do is help them with their own spiritual path. Like, I was indoctrinated into Christianity. You know, I'm from Lubbock. We went to church. We were PK kids, right? My great-grandfather was the pastor, and we was at church all the time. And I used to say, when I grew up, I ain't never going back to church. And then I've always had the ability to see the discrepancy. So my mom, I'm watching you buy a three-finger lid of weed. That's what you call it, three fingers, that much. And then we get to the store. I say, can I have some Captain Crunch? We don't have money for Captain Crunch. But you have money for that weed. Pop! Get popped in the mouth. That's because I was saying. So I could always see that y'all ain't living half this stuff y'all talking about. I'm going to tell you something. In this fellowship, I refuse to do that. And check this out. Everything that we say we stand on, we're going to be called to stand on the shit. Especially what we're trying to make somebody else stand on. So be careful. Man, look, I used to judge the shit out of old timers. When I got clean, my home group is Back to Basic Group, 4720 Wichita Street, Fort Worth, Texas, 76119. If you in Fort Worth, stop by sometime. We have meetings at noon and at 8 o'clock, except on Sunday, we only have a noon. I'd be setting it back, because when I got in that group, it was several people with a lot of time. We had Butch C for all the time. He just celebrated 40 years. You know, so we had all these people with all this time. And man, this is the shit I used to say. Because you know I done read the literature. Well, if y'all my only hope, I'm doomed. If y'all my only hope. Oh, you mean my only hope is to sell shit out of my trunk? Like that dude doing with 12 years. Oh, that's my only hope. I used to say, well, clean time don't equal recovery. That ain't even in our literature. It says social acceptability don't equal recovery. You understand what I'm saying? They used to come in on their lunch break from work and make a meeting and share. Now, first of all, they'll walk in waving at everybody and then hug 4 or 5 months. I used to say, look at this half a meeting making motherfucker right here. He need to sit his ass down. Boy, when I get 20 years, I hope I don't be at... You know what they used to say, Miss Claire? Get 20 years. Yeah, get 20 years. You know, that's just ridiculous. That's me. Who in here married? Who married? Well, when I get married, I ain't going to be doing this and that for my hub. When I get married, she probably say, well, bitch, get married. Let's see. That's just as ridiculous as that. You trying to tell me what you going to do with some shit you ain't never even did. But that's what the addiction will have us. That's what the disease will do. It'll have me lining out what you need to be doing that I've never even done. Based on some judgment that I got of you. So just remember, and now they judge the shit out of me. The whole time be light my ass up, boy. And I just know that, look here, the wheel of time, it don't grind fast, but it grind fine. Whatever you put on, it gonna roll back in time. So stand there and take it the same way you were putting it out there and laugh about, yeah, I used to judge old timers too. Now I'm an old timer getting judged. Just know that it's the go around. It's gonna come back around. I don't know, man. I feel like I jumped all over the place. I feel like I didn't. I know that we better wake up. This is spiritual awakening, which means we need to wake up. Because it's a part of our literature say that we will lull ourselves back to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Complacency have us think we doing all kind of, we this and we that, but we ain't made no meeting. We ain't got no. Look here, you know we got all these challenges going on nowadays. The boogie woogie challenge. The this kind of challenge. How about a step work challenge? Let's look at some step work from, let's go back to the pandemic. Pull out some fresh step work. Let's do a step work challenge in this bitch. Because this is a 12-step program. And those of us that work step, we ain't saying that to brag. We talking about that's the result. The result. That is it, right? That's how it results count. And the spiritual awakening is a result of those steps. And if you want what we have to offer, then you are ready to take certain steps. Right? These are the principles that make our recovery possible. I didn't go through the steps because I couldn't. It didn't come to me that way. I felt like I jumped. Look, I'm just grateful that I didn't do no dope when I felt like doing some dope. I'm always say that I'm so grateful that all them times that I felt like getting high, I didn't go get high. Or the times that I felt like leaving this fellowship, I didn't leave. Right. Or the first time I felt like not calling Sadie, I called her anyway. Or the times I didn't feel like praying, I prayed anyway. Or the times I didn't want to read my literature, I read it anyway. Because God will make possible what seemed impossible. It seemed impossible that I was going to make it through what I've been making it through. And everybody die. Everybody die. And that's what I had to get with, which is the principle I found in the first step, the self-awareness that brings me to the acceptance, man. It was the principle of acceptance all along. I wasn't accepting nothing. Man, when we talk about how simple this shit is, when we bring it all the way down, it's simple. I wasn't accepting that I was powerless over death. And now I'm accepting it. And that's part of the spiritual awakening. And once again, Hagner, thank y'all. But when my time on earth has ended and my activities here have come to pass, bury me face down and let the dope man kiss my ass. I'm K.E. I'm a recovering addict.